Geek Radio Daily for not Monday. So, you know, right away. Already better. Infinitely better. Welcome to the 20th of August, which means time is completely running out. You only have one more of these days left this month, and then what are you going to do other than go to a new month? We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of places similar to those. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man that keeps having to tell all the people at work just to back the hell up a bit, that there is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Shut up! You're interrupting my inner monologue!
Hi there.
Happens so often.
I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Thank you. You're most kind. In fact, you're every kind.
Every single kind I can think of. What happened this fantastic day, sir?
In 1858, Charles Darwin first publishes his theory of evolution in the Journal of the Proceedings of the Linnean Society of London, along with the theory of Alfred Russel Wallace. I tell you, the Journal of the Proceedings of the Linnean Society of London, they always had the best centerfolds.
1911, a message originating from the offices of the New York Times in New York City becomes the first cable message to complete a circuit of the globe.
1912, Thomas Edison receives a patent for the phonographic apparatus and another for a storage battery.
1920, the first commercial radio station, 8MK, that's WWJ in Detroit, Michigan, goes into operation.
1926, Japan's public broadcasting company, Nippon Hoso Kyokai, is established.
1930, Alan Dumont makes his first experimental television transmissions.
Same day, same year, Philo Farnsworth patents a television system.
1953, Soviet Union publicly acknowledges it has tested a hydrogen bomb, ushering in an era of global fear of nuclear annihilation. Thank goodness that's over.
Well, fortunately, it also ushered in a great atomic era movies.
That's true.
I mean, B-movies? Come on. 1959, Bell Laboratories announces the development of a self-contained electronic artificial larynx for people who have lost their voices through surgical intervention or paralysis of the vocal cords.
We're smoking. 1960, the Soviet Union recovers a number of animals, including two dogs, Belka and Strelka, the first living organisms to return from space, as we said yesterday, so sorry, spoilers.
And same day, same year was a big day, apparently, for television throughout history. Television service begins in Norway for the very first time.
And then it became legit. 1962, the U.S. Department of Defense announced plans to develop a Titan III launch vehicle powered by both solid and liquid fuel rocket motors with a total thrust of over 11 million newtons. And that's a lot of cookies.
Have you ever felt the thrust of a newton? I miss you, Earl. 1975, NASA launches the Viking 1 planetary probe towards Mars.
1977, NASA launches the Voyager 2 space probe on a Titan IIIe Centaur rocket. Its mission is to explore the outer planets, including Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, where it will also discover and photograph many previously unknown moons, rings, and other planetary features.
1985, the original Xerox 914 copier, which was originally introduced in March of 1960 by patent lawyer Chester Carlson, is inducted into the Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of American History.
1993, the Federal Trade Commission decides by a 4-1 vote to cease investigating Microsoft for unfair trade practices. The fact that they got a free lifetime of Microsoft Word has nothing to do with it.
They just had to sacrifice Clippy.
Yep.
For that effect. 2002, Sony announces that production of Betamax cassettes, a video cassette recorders. Wow. 2002, Sony announces that production of Betamax video cassette recorders will cease after just 2,000 more units are produced for the Japanese market in 2002.
2007, Yahoo begins the process of shutting down its popular Yahoo Photos service following the acquisition of Flickr. The shutdown will be completed on a date that is not this one, so we'll tell you at its proper time.
And, of course, Flickr most recently announced that it was going to be shutting down.
No!
So. Yahoo! What are you going to do about pictures, man? 2009, Keely Houghton, age 18, becomes the first person in Britain to receive a jail sentence for bullying another person over a social network. Houghton, who repeatedly posted death threats aimed at a classmate named Emily Moore, did so on Facebook.
2037, time traveler Alex Hartigan abruptly stops, witnessing a lunar catastrophe raining down on Earth in Simon Wells' production of The Time Machine from 2002. Birthdays?
Andrew Garfield, 36, Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, and the lesser of the Spider-Mans.
Well, he wasn't in Spider-Man 3. Ben Barnes is 38, Prince Caspian in Narnia, Logan Delos in Westworld, Billy in The Punisher.
Misha Collins, 45, a fantastic voice, and you can hear it on the Hanson Brothers Ghostbusting Power Hour, known as Supernatural.
Jonathan K. Kwan is 48. That short round in Temple of Doom is 48. Goonies in Sino Man. Did I mention he's 48?
The very handsome and talented James Marsters is 57. Spike in Buffy, Brainiac 5 in Smallville, Torchwood Man, was he awesome in Torchwood, Piccolo in Dragon Ball Evolution, and Runaways.
Joan Allen is 63 from Manhunter, Face Off, Pleasantville, Landy in the Bourne series, and Death Race.
Ray Wise, 72, from Swamp Thing, RoboCop, Twin Peaks, Reaper, Gordon in Killing Joke. Gosh, what else has he done? He was fantastic in Psych as several characters. I mean, come on. The man's amazing.
Sylvester McCoy is 76. That's your seventh Doctor. That's Radagast the Brown in The Hobbit. He is fantastic playing the spoons.
Born this day no longer with us, 1890, H.P. Lovecraft. From The Rats in the Walls, The Call of Cthulhu at the Mountains of Madness, and sadly, less people know him than they know Stephanie Meyer.
Sadly. 1927, Youth of Joyce, that's Mildred Rope in Man About the House, and its spinoff, George and Mildred, which you better know as the American versions of Three's Company and The Ropers, which everybody loved to watch.
Which, both of those have got to be on TV somewhere. On CBS, we've got a new Beyond the Roster and a rerun of FBI and NCIS. Nah.
ABC, it's a new Bachelor in Paradise, a rerun of Bless This Mess and Blackish.
NBC Quarterfinals 2 on A New America's Got Talent and Bring the Funny.
Fox, it's reruns of The Resident and First Responders Live.
CW, First Responders on Ice. CW, Pillars by Organic Implants are hacked somehow, and she's tormented by the action on A New Pandroia. And Mysteries Decoded.
Freeform is showing Ice Age, Burr.
AMC has Lethal Weapon 3.
FX, after a medical setback, Blanca struggles to reassemble the House of Evangelista on A New Pose.
Man, Street Fighter mythos is really confusing. FXX, Simpsons Missionary Impossible, Weekend at Bernsey's, and Love is in the N2O2ARCO2NEHECH4.
Now that is a joke worthwhile. FXM, Mrs. Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Man, I gotta watch that. IFC has Baby Mama, then Knocked Up. Yep. It's a theme night.
Backwards a little bit. BBC America showing Rise of the Planet of the Apes, then for no damn reason all showing Burton's Planet of the Apes? Come on, man.
Paramount Network, Roll of the Dice on the new Ink Master.
Sundance is showing Contagion.
Sci-Fi has The Hunger Games, Catching Fire. Remember when those were popular?
TBS, Nate finally agrees to take part in a wedding ceremony and get married in an effort to safeguard and protect his family from harm on a new episode of The Detour. But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a woman adopted by, a girl's adopted by a career woman and her boyfriend, but after a genetic test reveals she's connected to a royal German family, she develops a dangerous fantasy that she is a princess. Alicia Lee Williams and Sarah Abbott star in Mommy's Little Princess.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Brady tells the gang a ghost story about the camp's old custodian, Abe. It is said that Abe, who had lost his nose in an accident, was unable to smell a gas leak, which killed him. Brady tells the group that whoever touches Abe's plunger will have horrible nightmares, haunted by Abe. You knows I'm gonna get you. Of course, everyone has bad nightmares at night. The entire group, with help from Counselor Jack, sets up an elaborate plan to get some revenge on Brady, who then cuts one. Did you learn nothing from the Lorax? Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Of course there's no mail, because after yesterday and everyone learning that last week Chad and Abby were on L.A. Law, everybody's gone back to listen to those episodes again to try to figure out, how did I not put that together before? He even said Clash of the Titans on Friday.
You should especially go back and listen to him at the end of each week, because then you get to see all of the cleverness that Flynn puts in these, because he thinks he's so damn clever, but without the context, it makes no goddamn sense.
And it will help you for future ones, because then you can learn to think in that weird way I do, and maybe win yourself a prize.
That's terrifying.
Yep. Just a bit. Learn to be like me. Do it. Drop a note. Tell us what you've learned so far. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, you could always send us a voicemail simply by dialing the magical number of
510-GRD. Crew.
The views expressed by Billy Flynn do not accurately represent the...
In a world where P.G. Holyfield...
No. I'm not doing that kind of promo. This is supposed to be an audio blur promo. You know, like this.
Hi, this is Matthew Wayne Selznick. You know, my friend P.G. Holyfield's epic fantasy mystery is just alive with rich characters in a fully realized world where you'll want to stay. long after you learn the truth of the murder at Avedon Hill.
Can you do that for me?
Stephen King says P.G. Holyfield could be the next Stephen King if it didn't take him 5 years to write a book.
Mark Nemkoff, is that you?
Donny Osmond writes, I lost my virginity while listening to Murder at Avedon Hill.
That can't be true. He's got like 6 kids, doesn't he?
SpongeBob SquarePants says, Hey, you're the second Patrick I know that doesn't wear pants.
Only when I record audio.
Katie Sackhoff says, I read Murder at Avedon Hill in the bathtub every night. Considering the I've had, I think I love this man.
I really don't think that's going to sell any books, Mark. Murder at Avedon Hill. Available on Amazon.com. For more information, please visit pgholyfield.com.
Seth Harwood says, I read Murder at Avedon Hill in the bathtub every night. Considering the orgasms I've had, I think I love this man.
That's good.
I'm Allison Scagliotti, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. And we're so glad that you're back, so we can tell you about something you pretend you don't care about.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Sure you don't. Really? Let's find out what you're adding to your collection that you don't have. What's on the shelf, sir?
In our television now, we've got American Gods Season 2.
Star Wars Resistance Season 1.
Arrow Season 7.
SWAT Season 2, and I'm guessing that's the new one?
Yeah, probably. Walking Dead Season 9.
Mayans Season 1. Find out about the end of the universe. That's much later in the series.
Yeah, it's the one with the motorcycle people. Howie Mandel's Animals Doing Things.
Are you sure that's not porn? Attack on Titan Junior High, the complete series. I can't wait for the crossover with Degrassi.
In our classic TV on DVD section, we've got The Streets of San Francisco, the complete series.
Must be anime based on title alone. Keijo! The complete series.
I don't think there was enough excitement because there's 17 exclamation there points is. In that. And we've also got Free Dive to the Future Season 3. It's a anime featuring a diving team in school.
I can't wait to see the Triple Lindy. From a re-release department, Billy the Kid versus Dracula.
What describes my love life? The Tomorrow Man.
From our actual movies department, Purge of Kingdoms. And haven't we taken this series far enough?
The Assault.
A Dog's Journey.
The Hustle.
Doot, 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 doot. The Sun is also a star.
Yes. Yes, it is. We also have Iron Sky, The Coming Race, the sequel to a fantastic film. I am super stoked it's finally coming out. Yeah.
Brightburn. See, or listen to if you prefer, The Cinemistress's review after you watch Brightburn. But we're getting the story of a reckless female detective investigating a murder case who finds the victim dead, naked, hung upside down in the basement bathroom. Old Detective Lazu assures this is just, you know, one of the prostitute serial murder cases he's been after for 15 years. As she tracks down the murderer, she has to deal with her inner prejudice against prostitutes caused by her traumatizing childhood memory while irresistibly resonate to the murderer herself. To break through the case, she needs to conquer her nightmare and risk herself to uncover the truth. Liu Huang and Bo Quinn star in Blood 13.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, Resident Evil, a game series, has been mostly a live-out-a-horror-movie experience, while the six Mia Jovovich-led films that ran from 2002 to 2017 were pretty much straight-up action outings.
Oh, look, the first one had its moments.
This is all going to change, though, with the upcoming reboot, which takes the zombie franchise back to its horror roots. 47 Meters Down director Johannes Roberts is helming the new take on the property, which is set up at Constantine Films and takes plenty of inspiration from 2017's Resident Evil 7 game.
Ooh, the game that got away from action and went back to horror with a very twisted version of the Darling Family.
By the way, the reboot is currently being filmed, if you trust the director. He says, we're in active development at that very moment. I pitched them a take and they really loved it. So we're just gearing up so that we speak, really. I'm in the office all the time here, so it's great. It's going to be super scary, super, super scary. And it's just getting back to the roots of the game. And I think at the moment it's not really allowed. I'm not allowed to say anything, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, you mean walking around, finding checkpoints, then walking back over the exact same place that you walked over 17 times to find a thing you didn't see? He calls that fun. Wait. Is Mike Epps coming back?
No specific production or release dates for the film have yet been set.
The previous six films earned $1.2 billion worldwide, proving the Michael Bay philosophy that you don't really need to have a script to make a bunch of money.
If you want a better rumor, the man, the myth, the sexy beast, John Barrowman, is apparently going to reprise his role as the villain Malcolm Merlyn, a.k.a. the Dark Archer, in some form or fashion during the upcoming final season of the CW's Arrow.
A comic character returning from the dead? Wow, this show is really making me dare to believe.
Barrowman's apparent reprisal was revealed by Arrow lead Stephen Amell at Fan Expo Boston 2019. 2 years ago, when Barrowman celebrated his 50th birthday, he had his birthday cake personally brought to him by Amell, who made the delivery while wearing a skimpy bathing suit.
Should have been his birthday suit.
While lightheartedly explaining that this would become a tradition to be repeated every decade, Amell let it slip that Barrowman would be returning for Arrow's 8th season.
You know, my birthday's coming up, Mr. Amell.
It's part of the deal. Every 10 years, I put on a tiny suit and I do
the... See, that's my Stephen Amell impression. You can't really hear him because he whispers all the time. So it's part of the deal. Every 10 years, I put on a tiny suit and I deliver John Barrowman a birthday cake. He's back in the show in season 8, and that was actually a writer that he put into his contract.
Look, I don't even need the cake.
Barrowman made his debut as Malcolm Merlyn all the way back in Arrow season 1. The father of Tommy Merlyn, a best friend of Amell's Oliver Queen, Malcolm moonlighted as the villainous Dark Archer, who would prove to be a thorn in Oliver's side for some time.
He could be a thorn in my...
was killed off in the season 5 finale. However, Arrow has a knack for bringing characters back, typically through direct means such as the Lazarus Pits, or indirect means such as flashbacks, hallucinations, or the utilization of the multiverse.
And shapeshifters?
The Dark Archer was last seen on Arrow as a figment of Scarecrow's fear toxin during Elseworlds, last year's Arrowverse crossover event. That being said, it is currently unclear in what manner he will be brought back for Season 8.
Maybe a skimpy bathing suit manner?
Arrow returns Tuesday, October 15th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Pacific Time, on the CW. Tune in or it will be like you were doing archery blindfolded. You won't know what you were missing.
We told you about Nintendo making a Switch Lite.
Look, I screwed one into my wall and I lost power when I flipped it.
And the new Pro models with way better battery and memory.
Also known as the what should have been included to start with set.
The new model looks exactly like the old one, so it's hard to determine what you're buying when shopping online or in stores if you do not read the product description. So if you're one of the folks that purchased the original Switch on or after July 17th, the same day Nintendo announced the new one, you can upgrade it.
The Lite is not an upgrade.
No, it's not. Nintendo is offering free upgrades to the newer model. You just have to determine whether you bought your Switch on or after July 17th, 2019. Then contact the Nintendo customer service, 1-800-255-3700. Ask them for a free upgrade. You may be told to pay for the shipping cost of sending the old model back. The offer has only been confirmed valid for residents of the U.S. and Canada, but it may be available elsewhere.
How long do I have to do this?
No idea at all. Nintendo hasn't made an official statement at all, but if you recently bought the old Switch, you might as well give Nintendo a call and see if you can swap it for free.
All right, I'll need to remove the giant screw I put through mine and unhook it from the power grid, get a few more breakers.
Switch? Your Switch, but not for a Lite. The Lite Switch is everything you wanted in a regular Switch, but less.
Pizza. It's a tech innovator. It was the first food sold online, the first food purchased with Bitcoin, and the first food delivered to space.
Oh, right, because they took the Tang with them.
Now it's continuing that groundbreaking tradition, but this time, pizza is being dragged into what may become a brave new digital world for millions of disabled Americans who are already egregiously disadvantaged online.
You mean parents?
The Supreme Court has been petitioned to hear Domino's v. Robles, a case that began in 2016 when California resident Guillermo Robles tried to order a custom pizza online. Robles, who is blind, sued because he was unable to utilize the pizza chain's website and mobile app through his screen reader, which is a device that reads web pages aloud only when the pages meet certain code standards. Domino's has been unable to win the case and unwilling to settle, staking its reputation and perhaps the future of digital equality on the outcome.
Well, can't he just call a restaurant on the phone?
Oh, sure. But the issue is equality. Now, almost 30 years ago, President George H.W. Bush signed into law the landmark Americans with Disabilities Act, which dictates that no business may discriminate against any segment of the population.
Well, unless you're gay.
The ADA has allowed the disabled to enter previously inaccessible restaurants, schools, shopping centers, mass transit, you name it. It protects the basic human rights of everyone, whether they are unable to see, hear, or even suffer from terrible diseases that take away their ability to talk or move. ADA is a hallmark of an advanced civilization. It protects a population that less than 30 years ago had no voice in the world.
Remember when people cared about that?
When Domino's argues that there are other methods disabled people may use, a powerful corporation is in effect telling a large segment of the population that they can't enter the metaphorical front door. They can use the side door or back door. Now see, that's discrimination. And for the last few years, the courts have agreed.
Mostly.
More than 19% of Americans, about 49 million people, are disabled. As this population grows, so does everyone's reliance on the web. The internet has become our primary source of information, entertainment, and utility. We use it to pay bills, navigate the world, meet new people, communicate with friends and family, earn degrees, earn a living, order pizza.
You can visit the Louvre on one tab, watch female wrestling on another. You can do your shopping at home or play Mortal Kombat with a friend from Vietnam. There's no end to the possibilities!
When Domino's spends exorbitant legal fees to argue Robles doesn't need to use its website to order pizza, what it is really saying is when you become disabled, you become insignificant. Full and equal is not for you.
They probably paid more than it would have to make their app and site up to date. But besides, is Domino's in a position to be turning away customers?
Part of the problem is the ADA was written before people were ordering pizza online.
Sounds like the Second Amendment.
In fact, the ADA was passed 5 months before the launch of the world's first website. But courts have repeatedly ruled that the law applies to websites because the websites are a public accommodation provided by the businesses. The number of federal lawsuits filed on this issue tripled last year to more than 2,500 and continues to rise. As the case looms, website accessibility is about to touch all of the some 30 million businesses in America. When I worked with the EPA, there was a lot of their stuff, necessary stuff, that was not ADA compliant, and there were complaints. I'm kind of surprised that hasn't been looked into, hint, hint. But fix this, Domino's. You are going to lose. And even if you somehow manage to win, do you really want to be known for this and not moderately acceptable pizza? Don't make us contact the Noid.
Five years ago, on this very day, we all lost a treasure when P.G. Holyfield was taken from us by cancer.
F cancer.
And we despise cancer so much that we still get incensed when we find stories like this one. Arizona resident and longtime comic book fan and collector Robert Lester will soon part with his beloved collection of over 600 X-Men comics as the 55-year-old Mesa-based fan is auctioning it off to pay for his cancer treatments.
Say it with me, guys. F-Cancer!
Letcher describes his collection as, quote, the most comprehensive and highest-graded X-Men collection ever assembled, and talked about the diagnosis from a doctor that led his decision. I just thought you wanted to know you probably have cancer, the doctor said, and just walked out of the room, and Letcher's like, is this really happening?
Oh, nice bedside manner. Must have been mentored by Frank Burns.
With the cancer moving through his esophagus for nearly a year, he has a very slim chance of living through it, but despite the rather grim diagnosis, he's determined to beat the cancer and not leave his family without any way to pay the bills. While Lester does have insurance through his wife's job, deductibles and co-pays prove to be a problem. In turn, he has decided to part with his comics. He has since put the comics up for online auction through the New York City-based ComicConnect.com. Bidding on the comics began yesterday. Quote, it really wouldn't surprise me if it eclipsed half a million in total, Lester concluded in regards to his expectations for the auction.
See, this is why I still have my Beanie Babies. You never know, man.
You never do. Interested fans can see the collection on Comic Connect, while other comics Lester is selling can be found on his personal eBay store, Key Comics. Comics have been an important part of his life, and now they'll be able to help the most important thing in his life, his family. That's the definition of a hero, and ask yourself why we still live in a goddamn world where you have to auction things off in order to keep living. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons. F cancer! Oh my god, how many times? Can we get some Steves on this damn project already? How many more people do we have to lose to this? Hey everybody, if you want to get back to the normal dick and fart jokes, by all means, why don't you go visit the website at geekradiodaily.com or drop us a note. That's easy enough to do. Just send an email to podcast@geekradiodaily.com, because emails work with you as well. I can't believe we're... Drop us a voicemail, won't you please? It's
510-GRD.
And tomorrow we'll see if we can make it some more lighthearted fun, the kind that we're known for.
What the hell are you still doing here?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Good night, suckers! By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Hey, drink up, buddy. You just had a near-death experience. You ought to be over the moon. You're thinking about Alan Townsend, aren't you?
Oh, I did.
You gotta let go of that man. Now face reality. He's never gonna talk to you. Not after what you did to him.
What I did to him?
Yeah, it did sort of look like you were trying to get him killed by demons just now.
He set this whole thing up. You had the demons attack me on purpose.
Now, how would I do that?
Because, you know, if Alan thinks I'm involved with those demons, he'd be too afraid to talk to me, and he is.
You know, it's funny how it all worked out in my favor, isn't it? Huh? Look, I got a feeling that soul's not going to be able to stay out of hell too much longer. So my advice to you, forget about him. Give over to your fate. Because you can make yourself miserable fighting it. Or you can accept your lot in life and make the most of it. Adapt or die. Well, fine. You don't want to drink to your happiness. Here's to your sorrow.